I had meant to write a prose account of my mother's death, but suddenly I found myself writing this crown of sonnets in which the last line of every sonnet becomes the first line of the second, the next sonnet, and the final line of the whole sequence refers back to the first line of the whole sequence. So the sonnet is like a crown that circles in on itself. After I wrote it, I didn't understand why I was writing it instead of what I had meant to write. I remembered that my mother's confirmation name was Incoronata. So her name was about a crown. She was crowned when she was confirmed. But she became very sadly mad. She was hallucinating co-tenants, what she called co-tenants, in her apartment. She thought that because she had not bought her apartment when the building went condo, the rent control board was obliging her to accept these co-tenants. And she was very, very plausible about it. My friends would say, oh, is that really true? But it was very sad. And I think that's the only thing you need to know, except there is an Italian phrase that my mother uses, tono di Dio, which means thunder of God. Belongings. In memory of Angela Maria Incoronata Caruso Mortola, May 21st, 1903 to January 14th, 2001. In and out, sun, like the light of her mind that knows and doesn't, feels and forgets, pelts of rain, hide and seek of thought, first gray, then rose, but still a steady backlight, sometimes hidden. Remember Woody Allen's line? I'm not like that. I don't care when it happens, where. I just don't want to die. Not scared, not that. I just don't want to. And I told the doctor. And the doctor, laughing, cute old lady, said she doesn't care about the why and wherefore. She just doesn't want to die. And therefore, then she forgets, smiles, turns her head to nod, grand dame, at shadows on the walls that gather where the light collects and falls. They gather where the light collects and falls. We can't see them, but she seems to think at least a few are smiling, so she feels she has to say hello, politely thank these thoughtful ghosts who visit, sister, brothers, Sunday best in black, old Brooklyn friends who hardly see the gulf of 60 years, mama and papa, severe Sicilian bookends. Come in, come in. Her eyes light up. She waves and beckons all to chairs around her bed so she can boast to brothers and their wives of all the special things her daughter did and how her grandkids won so many prizes. And as she vaunts and glows, her smile blazes. But though she glows, but though her smile blazes, the sister flickers, fades, the brothers falter. Her eyesight's bad. It's hard to see their faces, as if she peered through gauze or a thick filter. And then the others come, the ones she calls co-tenants of her rooms, the lovers screwing, courses, goats in corners, nasty girls, smart aleck guys who do know what they're doing, and what they do is occupy her place. Back home, they swarmed all over her apartment, set up a stove behind her lovely bookcase, nursed babies on her sofa, bold, indifferent, and even here, still shameless in their clingings, they mean to steal. They'll steal her best belongings. What should she do to safeguard her belongings? She begs for help, urges us to lock, to triple lock the doors, to hide her things, her pearls right here, her fruitwood in New York, her mother's hand-carved walnut chairs, the leather-surfaced desk at which my father sat so long ago, wearing the cashmere sweater Grandma bought him, and the Selka shirt. Listen, are we listening? Have we heard? How well he dressed, how beautiful their place. Four rooms in Queens, what lots couldn't afford in an age of breadlines, shameful jobs, or worse. Tono di Dio, thunder of God, she looses the curse she learned in childhood for most uses. The curses learned in childhood have their uses. Tona de Dio, she swears when they strip her bare to bathe her. Tona de Dio, when the nurses slide the soiled bed pads to the floor or prop her in the wheelchair to be fed. Thunder of God echoes along the halls when she tries to fight the husky nurse's aid, come to sponge her bruises, stains, and spills. Embarrassed, we shiver in the corridor while she flails and shrieks for the police. Tona de Dio, call the police! God's thunder will scorch us if we leave her in this place, away from her apartment, calm and peace, away from her belongings, purse and keys. Away from her belongings, purse and keys, and crumpled Kleenex, reading glasses, coins, and comb she always carries in that purse. She isn't real. She might be only bones. Yet the belongings, longings, must go on. The bookcase and the rugs and tables must survive, outlast her. So she tells her grandson how to plan an auction in the East. These are the costs of those belongings, that the value of mahogany, and this the price of sterling silver, which she fought to buy, a fifth-grade teacher in the 30s, and the bracelets, furs her in-laws gave. Too bad they can't go with her to the grave. What happens to belongings after the grave? They'll be up here, and she'll be down there. What of the stuff she worked so hard to have? Polished mahogany and mink and silver, and even the 15-year-old television, still good, still just right for the nightly news, and the brand-new vacuum cleaner, even still something someone ought to choose. Her face is crumpling like a handkerchief. Don't give it all away. Don't give it up. If you don't want it, at least sell it off. Don't let the others have it either. Stop the thieves before they drag it all away. Don't let my belongings go astray. Don't let my belongings go astray. Call the super. Tell the doorman. Keep the windows locked and barred. The crooks away. The ones who break and enter when you sleep. The ones who follow, stolen, knife, and rape. How many years she's warned us. Can't we hear? They'll pick the locks. They'll climb the fire escape. Just look. The crooks are here, are everywhere. A sudden nod, a glance at the next bed, where a wizened person gasps and snores. That one now, she saw her, yes, she did, peering in closets, rummaging in drawers. Even in hospitals, they have no pity. They rob you when they see your things are pretty. Yet, oh, it's nice that all her things are pretty. Her smile blazes. Back in Jackson Heights, on one of the better blocks in New York City, her beautiful apartment basks and waits. A hush of rugs, a drawn Venetian blind, keeping the silence, keeping the bars of shadow gathered like silent guardians around the hanging shelf, the Wedgwood, the piano. And there the family photographs are masked. My father's face, blade thin in sepia. My baby self, in flounces or undressed. From times when she was poor, but happier. Belongings blurry as if underwater, bearing the prints of mother, father, daughter. How far the age of mother, father, daughter. My baby room with walls now pink, now blue, but never yellow, though I begged, I fought her. And the tiny snowman globe where snowflakes flew. And the little silver Virgin Mary shrine whose key I turned to play Our Lady's song, Ave Maria, tinkling out of tune. And the gray hooked rug where silent bluebirds sang, and a rabbit ran away among the trees, but never vanished, never could escape whatever chased him from the knitted haze. A scary thing, because it had no shape. Though now the whole room's painted hazy gray, and the rabbit, trees, and birds raveled away. When did her mind begin to ravel away. That time she fell outside the beauty parlor getting pretty for her grandson's birthday. She didn't answer when we tried to call her, and soon with mop and broom she fought the others, called 911, the super, the police. There on the sofa sat the nursing mothers. The lovers crawled and thrashed under the bookcase. We flew to Queens. We packed up all her things, the fox head furs, her mother's lion necklace. But what about all my other best belongings? She worried, then gave up, resigned to silence. A roar of takeoff buckled in. She hissed, "Here's to my new adventure in the West." At sundown, tantrums shake the sunset west. The nurses turn her toward the flashing window. See the flowers? See the pretty bird's nest? Bushes tug in tubs on the patio, where a night wind rises over astroturf, batters the waiting tables, chairs, and wheelchairs, as if they stood in a swirl of Pacific surf, whose icy water glitters, darkens, clears. "Here's dinner, hon." The nurse's aide with bib holds out a tray of lukewarm, grown-up mush. Last week, a fall tore muscles, cracked a rib. How did she fall? Did someone really push? She tries to remember, strains to see, remembers sometimes the names of sundown visitors. Sometimes the names of sundown visitors hook into thought. Sometimes the sounds unravel, blur, sister, brothers, TV commentators. Frank and Vito turn into Ted Koppel. I visit afternoons, bring cupcakes, chocolate, the only stuff she ever wants to eat. Can barely swallow, though. One night, past midnight, she coughs a little, chokes on her own spit. The night nurse didn't hear. The radio was turned on loud. She's kind of scared and sorry and puts a rose on the poor old lady's pillow. And a mortician calls and tells us not to worry. Above the sunlit bay, the slicing plains rise fast, and one speeds east with her remains. Back among her belongings, her remains glide north-northwest in a shiny SUV designed to weather snowstorms, freezing rains, far from the simmering fields of Sicily. The East Coast Cemetery, stony, pressed into a cleft of hills. Black ice, I skid on, leaning to greet the freckled, hearty priest, looking, not looking at the box she's laid in, at the edge of the polished boards that hold her husband. The priest says the words she scorned, she didn't believe. She has to be blessed to belong to holy ground. And oh, she would scold us if she were still alive. No tono de Dio, no bolt so fierce and true as the light of her mind that felt, that thought, that knew.